Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm so excited because I have one of my favorite people with me today, Fran Shaw. Fran is a longtime practitioner in spiritual discipline and is also a university professor and award-winning best-selling author whose books include Notes on the Next Intention, Writing My Yoga, Poems for a Presence, 50 Ways to Help You Write, and of course her latest international bestseller, Lord Have Murphy, Waking Up in the Spiritual Marketplace. Lord Have Murphy is a unique and invaluable guide that helps readers to recognize their own power. Anyone who takes the time to truly absorb the messages in Murphy's story will follow the advice within, will learn exactly how he or she can overcome challenges to live by choice, not by chance. However, be forewarned, Lord Have Murphy is not for the weak-kneed. With his thought-provoking musings, Murphy will put you through some serious paces while you're belly laughing all the way through the book. Fran, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Vicki, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you came to develop Murphy, how he jumped into your mind and onto the page.
It's an interesting question because I was on sabbatical from the university and you're expected to write a book. I was sort of holed up in a little room for 4 months wanting to write about higher consciousness, actually struggling to write about higher consciousness, trying to write about it. It seems to be the only subject that's really of much interest right at this moment. And it was such a struggle because everything that would come onto the page would be sort of teachy and preachy, like some kind of authority on this. And, you know, I'm just seeking in my way, like everyone. And I've had teachers and worked for many decades, of course. So I happened to be looking at some drawings I had with me by Bruce M. Sherman, and they're sort of funny little quirky drawings, and they all have to do with higher consciousness. One of them had the words, Lord have mercy, next to it. It was a kneeling figure sort of beseeching the heavens, but sort of comically said, Lord have mercy. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, you know, maybe this has to be a humor book. Maybe this has to be, you know, lighten up. And I wrote the words Murphy here on the page, and then all of a sudden it was just like the floodgates open. For the next 4 months, I was sort of captive to this Murphy voice that came out that was just so funny. I mean, I'm just laughing at the computer. My husband must have thought I was crazy. And he just was so liberating. It was like he could really tell it like it is in a way that I couldn't. And he also, every few paragraphs, would be this funny line that would come in. I don't know from where. He's such an innocent. He's a seeker, but he just, you know, can't stand anything that's fake or phony or, you know, he calls it smelly. So it was just so much fun, and it was also a great demand of the computer as well to try to be really present all day long while this book was emerging. So Murphy sort of took over, and I think he's standing nearby now just in case I need his help. I'd like to put him on the line at some point possibly.
I love it. So what is the key message of Lord Have Murphy?
The key message is that we are really on the brink of higher consciousness, many, many of us on the earth, and it's going to really have an effect on the planet. There are many pathways to higher consciousness. We've been trying them, you know, meditation, mindfulness, yoga, all of the different religions and disciplines. And the thing is that we may not yet realize that beyond concepts and techniques, there is this finer attention. Actually, it's a sacred energy coming into us. And that just recognizing its touch right now, in this moment, takes us from self-awareness across the threshold into awakening. So the book is all about, in fact, the last three books are all about how to have this, feel this touch of this other very intense, animating energy that's coming into us at every moment, at the same time as one is speaking and eating and talking with a friend, to have both those streams going at the same time, because I think that is what a normal human being is. You're in touch with everyday self and the higher in the same moment. Long explanation, but that's what it is.
Oh, it's beautiful, really beautiful. So I know you shared with me that the title carries a hidden meaning. Can you share with everyone what is Lord in connection with this book, and what is it represented by Murphy?
Of course. The way that Murphy, the, quote, narrator on this little quest in the book, uses the word Lord is a wider meaning than just this higher force that we all understand in our own way, you know, independent of the different religious traditions. So aside from this higher force, by that word, we're meaning sort of sacred qualities that one experiences when one is in a higher state. So it's these qualities with a capital letter, such as higher intelligence, capital I, intelligence with the I in it, attention, sacred attention, finer attention, not my attention, but this other quality that's not mine, but really what I am. Also, love, capital L, unconditional, and light, more than physical light, an actual light that illuminates myself and everything around me when I'm in this vibrating with this higher attention. So that's what Lord is. It's higher power, but also these other sacred qualities that one experiences. Murphy really just represents personal identity. It's my Murphy. It's your Murphy. It's this body, this form, this particular personality with all its gifts and challenges, this lifetime, my Murphy. Murphy often talks about himself in the third person in the book, so he's sort of aware that it's not the whole story, just the Murphy. So Lord, have Murphy. And, of course, there's humor in the title because it's a play on words, which is a very favorite thing throughout the whole book. Lots of made-up funny play on words, so that's Lord and that's Murphy, and we want to try to get them both together in the same moment as we live. That's what it's all about, Lord and Murphy together as we just ourselves, but free in this attention.
Well, you know, I know you're an extraordinary college writing professor, and I was wondering what inspired you to include humor in a book about conscious awareness, because so many people feel this is such a serious subject, has to be so serious.
I think there was a certain feeling that I was getting when I go to these groups and meditations. Everything was getting very serious and very institutionalized, and yet when one actually tastes this quality of energy that's vibrating through us all, and I'm, of course, trying to have this be open to this experience now as I'm speaking about it, it's such a joyous thing. It's so freeing. Everything just drops away, and I can vibrate in a way that just seems much different than the creature that is, you know, concerned and contracted, and Murphy calls it, when my world is shrunk to the size of a kumquat, you know, sort of like going through life very, very, you know, almost like with blinders on. So there's such joy in the energy, and I was feeling in some of these meetings that it was just such a serious effort, such a serious business, and inside I'm going, this is a joy, come on, you know. So humor is very freeing when I feel very identified and I feel like I'm nervous or sad or upset. Sometimes I just open the Murphy book, and Lord have Murphy, and it just cheers me up in about two paragraphs, because apparently the state that it was written in is actually that joyous vibrational state. And then I'm thinking, well, what am I so upset about? and then maybe I can begin to remind myself that, wow, there's this other quality present now, and where is that? How do I open to that? And then maybe it appears.
Oh.
So that's why we're writing about consciousness with humor. It just sort of feels like the right thing to do at this moment for us all.
Well, you know, friend, you are such an amazingly interesting person. Tell us a little bit about your own spiritual journey and how you got to this place.
I hope these answers aren't too long, but I guess it's a many lifetimes kind of thing. I'm not sure about that, but you get little glimmers of it. And in college, certainly, I was, of course, an English major at Barnard, and so I was reading a lot of poetry, and it was the mystical poets that were exciting to me. Walt Whitman here in New York, and William Blake, you know, the wonderful poet from centuries ago, and Rumi, you know, what are they talking about? What is this? So I started taking a lot of classes in comparative religion and states of human consciousness, and, you know, interviewed any important person in this field that came into New York during that, you know, period. So I became very interested in college, and that continued when some friends from California happened to be staying at my house, and they were going to see a teacher, and I could feel when they returned to the house that they were just different. They just seemed so alive. And I asked to meet that person. I met that person who led me to someone else. I worked in a discipline for, as I said, many decades, still working in it, and had the good fortune to actually meet a teacher who has passed now, who was really the first awake man that I met. And the good news is that when you're with someone who is awake, you know, second by second, really in that higher state, it's sort of contagious. Doesn't matter what they're saying to you, something about how they are internally aligned helps you align in that way. So without explanations and without instructions, all of a sudden you're tasting something that's completely different. And I was fortunate enough to work with someone like that for 10 years before he passed. And then it was just a matter of waiting another 15 years to get the nerve to talk about it.
Well, you definitely discuss and affectionately skewer some of the leaders and practices in the spiritual marketplace out there. Do you think they take themselves too seriously? And maybe perhaps we take them too seriously.
That's a very interesting point, because first of all, it's Murphy that's skewering them. Because Murphy is Murphy is sitting, shaking his head. Yes, as he puts it, the farther one travels, the less one blows. And he apparently doesn't feel that these people have traveled as far as he wishes they would. But, you know, Murphy still has his little judgments, whereas Fran, me, I just understand the impulse to wish to share what one experiences in higher consciousness, to share it with others, and also the intense difficulty in doing it in a way where one doesn't get identified, because it's really hard to keep the self, capital S, in all this self-promotion. You know what I'm saying? It's as if it's a challenge to really be as present and as awake as possible while talking about being present and awake as possible. Sometimes we can do it and sometimes we can't. So I understand the difficulty, and we are basically all in the same boat. We're all trying to wake up in the best way we can. So my heart just is completely open, it says at the very end of the book, to everyone trying, teaching, helping others, practicing in whatever form. It's all good. Self-help is, you know, skewered in a chapter by Murphy where he talks about, I think it's called Maximizing the Art of Living. He talks about, you know, people who reckon they know everything are of great irritation to those of us who do.
That's
Murphy's attitude. And he talks about some self-help, when they use the transformation word, he redefines it as transitory information about how to cope as a cheerier me. So he doesn't think it's real transformation. The thing that is the sticking point in all this, with everything that's going on in the spiritual marketplace, and I sort of see it over and over again, but it really bothers Murphy, is, he's nodding, is this idea that by just thinking something different or by manipulating my behavior, I'll be in the Tao's flow. I'll be in the flow of the Tao. I'll be in higher consciousness. But that isn't the proper coin. That's not going to be the kind of payment that actually is going to keep, get one over the threshold from self-awareness into actually an awakened state, from my experience. And I love positive thinking. I have to rev myself up. It's my guilty pleasure. I love hearing things about positive thinking. In my heart and from my own experience, though, I know that it doesn't really change my state. It cheers me up, and I can go for a little while like that. But now, having this experience working with people that were awake, and then I try to be awake at different moments, including this one, as much as I can during the day, you can know when you're in the stream of this other finer attention. There's definite hallmarks. You can know it as clearly as you know it's hot or cold outside. When the stream of attention is here, you're in the shower of energy, as well as just being your ordinary self, Fran, speaking on the phone, and you absolutely have a different quality of light around you and a different experience of the body. It's almost like if there's nobody there. It's another quality of experience, and that's what the last three books have been about, that living in both streams and be sure that this other stream is actually here and that I'm actively receiving from it. Another long answer.
Oh, I love it. I love your answers. I just love the way you express yourself on the subject of spirituality. It's so beautiful. So I know that you believe that people really need humor in order to keep them interested in higher consciousness. It's an ingredient that a lot of people are missing. Why do you think Murphy is a necessary messenger for this?
Murphy's a necessary messenger because I wanted to actually be able to transmit before I'm gone from this planet something to my very smart 30-something PhD computer scientist son. And I knew that I couldn't give him these old books about, you know, whatever the system, any systems that I had worked in. I knew that I had to get the essence of what my life has come to in terms of this search for consciousness and just handed it to him in a way that he could laugh and it would be in terms that he could understand. I wanted him to be able to read the book, period, you know, and his friends to read the book. So there's a chapter in the book called Wake Book, which is, as Murphy puts it, it's about this new opens the source software that helps you get past your own page. You see, now he could understand, my son could laugh at that, and he'll understand what that is, and then I actually talk about what is required in order to be able to receive this finer attention that's hidden from our everyday mind. What is the way that you begin to open to that? And it's in there with all sorts of puns and funny things, you know, about texting and Painterest instead of Pinterest and all sorts of little puns and things like that. So he can laugh on every page and he's still receiving the message in a way that's much more digestible. No fancy religious terms, no going to a monastery. These millennials, these young, many of them are just so close already. They already have some kind of presence and they have a kind of a fearlessness, some of them. They're already so close to vibrating in this other way, so I hope the book could have humor and would someone, you know, 35 could read it and be engaged by it. But I'm finding that everybody likes to laugh. Murphy, people like Murphy. He's funny, you know.
I love it. Well, I know people have responded so well to Murphy, and I was just wondering, can you give some tips on how people can begin to experience this awakening that Murphy talks about?
Sure. In that, it's all through, hints of it are given all through the book, of course. And then that chapter that I was just mentioning, Wake Book, actually talks about the first step towards that. And it's, you know, it may sound like nothing new to people. It's this idea that all of a sudden, right now, this moment as I'm speaking to you, it's as if there's a camera on me. There's a camera on you. There's a camera on us. It's this beginning to have just a neutral seeing of my body here in this space doing this. That's kind of like the foot in the door, this seeing, and there's different degrees of seeing. But if I can cultivate with my attention this sort of neutral look at myself here in this place doing this thing, sometimes it'll develop enough sustained attention. I'll have enough staying power in my attention. Of course, yoga does this wonderfully, that I may all of a sudden notice that something else is here too, aside from my mind observing my body in a neutral way, posture, facial expression right now, things like that, where my arms are, how my voice sounds, the sounds in my ears. Aside from those sensory impressions of my body, my feelings are joining in because they're interested now in attending to this sensation of my body, inhabiting it with attention, listening. All of a sudden, I'm much more here. I'm much more collected in myself. So when that happens, when all these three have come together, mind, body, and feelings, there appears a moment when what's animating it all can be perceived as well. In other words, there's something very, even more subtle than the sensation in my body moving through it. It's a subtle energy penetrating the body, moving through it, and I can perceive that because these three parts have come together and there are other energies here, and I can know that. I can perceive that because I'm a human being. It's my birthright. So that's the crossing the threshold that I'm speaking of. And I can't do it, but the more that it does happen, the more I recognize what's here and the more I can come more quickly into that while still carrying on everyday functions. So that's what the chapter Wake Book is about. And I hope some people who are so close to that already, because doing yoga and meditation brings you so close to that, to be able to recognize what other energies are here. When I'm related internally, when I'm connected inside in this way, mind, body, feelings, all here together, balanced for a moment, what other energies are here? I need to have a look with my attention, and sometimes my attention all of a sudden can join this bigger, other attention that's not mine. There are many words for it. Self, capital S, chi, life force, a lot of names for it, but no real words for it, if you know what I mean. So that's what the book also talks about. And then, of course, the book before this, Notes on the Next Attention, are the talks, the real, true talks, 78 talks that I sort of recollected from the person, the teacher that I received this from. So if you are truly interested in a vibratory book that is not all about content, because it's not about content, it's about energy. It's an energetical book. I'll put that word in quotes. It's not about ideas. It's about a vibration. And because this person, so much more capable and awake than me, speaks in a way that is, how shall I put it, carries and transmit a vibration that's always fresh and new. You can just read half a page and you are attracted to receiving this other energy. So Murphy doesn't quite do that.
That is so powerful. So do you have a new message from Murphy that we might use to close with?
Sure. We can live in a new way. We can discover, because it's as near as the next breath, this finer attention. And when we pay attention to it, when we are able to receive it, from this comes my best action in the world, my best action for others, because I'm free inside and I'm doing what I think I'm here to do on the planet, which is allowing this higher force to come into the world. We absolutely can live in a new way. We're very close to it. And I don't even know if we need a lot of people to do it. But that's what I wish for everyone, for us all, that we can awaken, truly awaken.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Fran, I know people are going to want to be able to connect with you and tap into more of your wisdom and Murphy's wisdom and your other books. So is there a website where they can go to connect?
Yes, there's a website. It's franshawbooks.com. There are excerpts, free chapters from the books on the website, and if I can persuade him, Murphy's going to begin to blog.
I love it.
So Murphy will begin to blog.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, Fran, give the website one more time to be sure everyone got it.
It's franshawbooks.com.
Beautiful. Fran, thank you so much for being with us. You are so inspiring and just so entertaining, and you bring lightness to the world and to our world today. So thank you.
My pleasure, Vicki. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it so much.
And for all of you out there who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.